Will you be mine, my darling dear? Love you all the time. I'm just a fool in love with you. Earth angel, the one I adore. Love you forever and evermore. I'm just a fool in love with you. I fell for you, and I knew the vision of your love's loveliness. I hope and I pray that someday I'll be the vision of your happiness. Earth angel, please be mine, my darling dear.
This song is quite comical when I think about what we're reviewing tonight. Especially NXT. I don't know.
This Earth should, Angel?
This, yeah, this should be the theme song for that fucking show, not whatever they've got. Young and Wild, is that the name of that song?
Something along those lines.
This is much better.
Well, I won't argue that.
The vision of your love's loveliness.
Can you imagine David Otunga cutting a promo with this in the background?
I hope and pray.
Or Wade Barrett?
David Otunga, yes. Wade Barrett would not work.
Yeah, we've watched NXT, everybody. Here on the Brian and Vinny Show, here on February 23rd, 2009, here at figure4online.com, here at WrestlingObserver.com, here on Tuesday night. Now, normally, we'll do Raw and Impact on Tuesday, starting in just a couple of weeks now. Raw and Impact. They're going to be airing head-to-head. I don't know if people know this or not.
Still true?
Yeah, it's still true, and I think some people are still shocked about that based on reading the board. People are baffled as to why we'd be talking about TNA on Monday night. I'm afraid it really is going head-to-head, everybody. It's really going to air. It's going to be Raw and Impact on at the same time. Why?
Well, I don't have... That is a good question.
Now, I know why. Because they got to try. I'm not going to get on a big tirade here. I don't want people crying. I got enough people crying on the board as it is. Nothing better, by the way, than listening to these people cry. But yes, Impact and Raw will be Monday nights. And then on Friday nights, we'll do SmackDown and NXT. But we had to review NXT this week. Just had to.
Couldn't wait.
It was the first show. It was so much better than most ECWs.
Oh, God, yes.
I mean, really, it was the Bryan Danielson show. Shocking that that would be better than a show featuring the woo-woo guy.
Or Abraham Washington.
So, yeah, he was on the show. Michael Cole was just... He was playing the role of Vince McMahon, an angry Vince McMahon. That's what his job was.
Well, the outright Josh at one point said, "You are the Miz of this announce team."
Yes.
You are the...
Everyone hates you.
You're the veteran who everyone hates, yes.
He played the role of Vince McMahon. He spouted out all the lines that Vince shouts and screams about on a daily basis. Buried... You know the funniest thing about the show was? I think the idea was we were supposed to get really mad at Michael Cole. Mm-hmm. Like, how dare Michael Cole say all these things? That was his role. That's what they wanted us to do. But I didn't fall for it. But I did think it was funny. I did find it funny when Cole goes on this big tirade about indie geeks and Twitter and the internet and dirt sheets. Mm-hmm. He's just ranting and raving about these
things. Shouting at the top of his lungs.
First off, if anybody from WWE management or the writing team or anybody, if anybody's listening to this, just to alert you, Nobody actually says dirt sheets anymore. Nobody does. Okay? The only people that say dirt sheets are, like, old people. Like, old, you know, old folks in this business.
Out of clueless people, is what you're saying?
You never see 20-year-old wrestling fans or 20-year-olds in this business talking about dirt sheets. Not to mention, burying Twitter and burying the internet. You do realize that what you, WWE, have claimed NXT is, it's supposed to be this hot young thing with a bunch of young and wild dudes. So you're going to bury the internet and Twitter? That's all these fucking guys do. Why don't you bury video games while you're at it? This show just, to me, I didn't get mad at Michael Cole or really anything. I was just gobsmacked at how out of touch they are.
Well, he is the heel announcer.
The idea that, I'm going to go back and actually read what they wrote in this press release today. It was... Let me read the whole thing. It was astounding, is what it was. I have no other words for it. Let me find a thing right here.
It wasn't the newsletter.
No, I just did a...
The update, one of the two.
It was in the update, but I took that from the actual full press release that they sent out. I'm going to do a little search right here. It's just hilarious. I mean, this thing, I talked about it last week. It's like this thing was written by Tiffany.
Yeah, I can see that.
All right, here we go. This, I swear to God, is straight from WWE. WWE NXT premiere tonight on Sci-Fi at 10:09 Central. WWE NXT features 8 WWE superstar pros mentoring 8 NXT rookies who are learning the ropes. The NXT rookies are athletes who epitomize pop culture and personify strong attributes. They are opinionated and aggressive, which means conflict between pros and pros too? They really wrote this.
That was the entire thing.
They epitomize pop culture and personify strong attributes.
What in the hell does that mean?
They are opinionated and aggressive.
They personify strong attributes.
This show is like supposed to be this pop culture phenomenon. That's what they think this is going to be. And meanwhile, they're using the term dirt sheets. They're burying Twitter. They're burying people that go on the internet. How out of touch can you be? Even I'm not that out of touch. I fucking hate video games, okay? I'll admit this. I don't play them. I would not know anything past about Super Mario Brothers.
Except Dig Dug.
Yeah, nothing past Super Mario Brothers. I don't even remember, like, what was the one after Super Mario Brothers?
I think it was Super Mario Brothers 2.
Whatever. I don't even remember that one. I certainly was never around for fucking Mario Kart or any of this other bullshit. But I understand that that's cool. I understand that kids, young people today love playing video games. I understand this, okay? Mm-hmm. These people apparently don't. Like, Vince McMahon is, he hasn't even gotten to the level of Buddy Wayne where Buddy Wayne, you know, he discovered the internet and fell in love with it. I don't even know if Vince McMahon has gotten to that point yet. I know Vince McMahon texts. I think that's like the farthest that he's gotten. And if anybody from WWE is listening right now and can alert me if he's past the step of texting.
If anyone from WWE is listening and can forward us text from Vince McMahon, we promise we won't share.
I don't care
I must know what they're like.
Well, they're spelled poorly. I can tell you that.
Okay.
See, I know he's at least got to texting, but I don't think he's gotten any farther than that. And they're trying to create this pop culture show, and meanwhile, they hate the internet, they hate Twitter. I wonder if he realizes, and I know he does realize this because they've clamped down on Twitters after midnight, but half the fucking crew Twitters, okay? A bunch of them, I mean, there are obviously a lot of fake profiles on Facebook. Many of them are on Facebook. They've got all of their little things they do on the internet. They play their video games. This is what people do. And Vince has got it in his mind that if you go on the internet, you're a geek. If you use that Twitter bullshit, you're a fool. These goddamn dirt sheets in 2010. Dirt sheets. It's absurd. You throw in the term yellow journalism while you're at it. Throw in something completely antiquated. Say they're typed up on they're done on a mimeograph, for example. Can you bring me the mimeograph of the Raw, goddammit? That's what I picture Vince doing. This guy's just out of his mind. And Michael Cole has to play the role of the douchebag. And I guess Josh Matthews is playing the role of Dave Meltzer. I don't know.
or most fans.
Oh, yeah. Josh is, like, on top of things.
Yes. Josh has a clue.
Which is funny because, like, what's come out of this? You know what I mean? What are we supposed to get out of this NXT thing?
Absolute weirdest heel announcer, face announcer dynamic I ever saw.
This show is fabulous.
There's even a point, and I honestly don't know what this had to do with anything, but there was a point in the middle of the show where, God, I forget what even led to it, but Cole and Josh had a little, they had a face-off, a conflict or something, and Michael Cole just says, well, it was nice working with you.
Yeah.
Like,
I have no idea what's going on.
There's something about tweets that was in there, too.
Let's recap this show.
All right.
Why waste time? It opened with all the rookies backstage looking as uncomfortable as humanly possible. And Miz walked up and told Daniel Bryan to step forward. Now, for those of you that didn't see the show but are aware of Bryan Danielson, he was wearing exactly what he wore in Ring of Honor. He had the maroon trunks, the maroon knee pads, the marine boots.
Maroon boots.
No marine boots, unfortunately. That would have... Hey, why not? He had the maroon boots on. He had his cape.
Yes, and most importantly, he had the Bryan Danielson robe.
The robe, yes. He was just wearing it, and he was standing there. And his hair is just kind of there. Looks remarkably like yours, in fact, Vince. And he stepped forward, and Miz said, I hear you're an internet darling who has traveled the world and become a star in the minor leagues. He said, the internet bloggers... Bloggers.
Yes.
How many internet writers are actually on? I guess there are many that are sort of on blogs. I don't know.
I just like that. Is there another kind of blogger that's not on the internet?
Well, maybe
are there hard copy bloggers out there?
I think I still write one half the time. He said the internet bloggers said he was ready. So he wanted to know if he was ready. He told him to go to the ring, cut a promo, telling fans why he deserved to be here. And he made him go to the ring to his music.
Miz's music.
Yes, Miz's music. And after he left, he said that what Daniel did not know was that he had the personality of the Mojave Desert, and if he did not show some charisma in the ring, he was going to smack some charisma into him. Yeah.
So he came down to the ring.
Oh, I got to do some more stuff first. First off, Michael Cole and Josh Matthews
That's
exactly were the
announcers. Exactly what I was getting to, yes.
The backstage
host, we were told, was Matt Stryker.
Matt Stryker.
And Tuesday is clearly casual day in the Stryker wardrobe.
I guess so. So Daniel got to the ring, and he apologized for having Miz as his pro. He said he wished it would have been Regal, but you get what you get.
The best thing was he everyone booed the Miz's name, but when as soon as he said, you know, he said, to my fans, I'm sorry, I wish my pro was Regal, but everyone booed him too.
Well, you know. He said he... had been wrestling all over the world for 10 years, finally got his opportunity in WWE, Miz's music hit, Miz came out and said he had his work cut out for him with Daniel as his rookie, told him to watch what he said, Daniel said, watch what you say or I'll submit you right now, and Miz said he might be a submission machine, but he had no charisma or personality, and Daniel said he had an idea to get on WWE was to, get on a reality show, grow a faux hawk, and then come out and act like an idiot. But then he said, oh, wait, Miz, you beat me to it. And anyway, long story short, his catchphrase is that when they get in the ring together, Miz will either tap or snap, which I think is the name of an MMA school around here. Tap or Snap. I think there's probably several of them nationally as well. But anyway.
I hope they learn to tap quickly.
Yeah.
Or their students will not last long.
Yes. So anyway, Miz ended up slapping him and walked out, and Daniel smiled and said there would be a time when he'd slap him back, and the fans were polite enough. This could have been a complete disaster, but they cheered for some things. They did not boo or chant boring.
Did not say what.
They didn't say what.
Even after this man professed love for William Regal, who they hate.
They ended up being fine.
A little confused. It all worked out okay. I don't even know if this is really a problem, but it seemed like after Miz left and Danielson was in the ring rubbing his face, it seemed like he just could not stop smiling.
Well, he couldn't.
Which, it fits him, yep. But it was still a little strange.
The official theme song, Wild and Young. I hate this song. Like, I don't think there's ever been a song. I would prefer Candice Michelle's theme.
No.
Yes, I would.
I disagree.
I hate that song, Wild and Young. I hate it with every ounce of my being. Because it just, what is it? It's like, it's what they want this show to be, but it's complete bullshit.
Yes, it comes off completely insincere and phony.
Bullshit.
Yeah. I will not defend the song. I will simply say there was something else in the show I hated more.
Than this song?
Yes.
Oh, well, yeah.
Yes.
Stryker interviewed Brian about being slapped and embarrassed.
I can't even call it a question. He said, "You were just slapped in the face on national television. Completely embarrassed. Your thoughts?"
Yes. And Daniel said, "Well, I wasn't embarrassed. And I want Miz to know that I'm going to slap him back someday, and I slap a hell of a lot harder than he does." He said he'd been in the business twice as long as Miz, and Stryker said, "But wait, you have not been in WWE for a minute." Never mind the fact that he actually was under developmental contract for like a year, and he's had TV matches and dark matches. But I guess that doesn't count anymore. And by the way, that brings up the point again. So throughout this show, they keep talking about how he's an internet darling. He's been wrestling for 10 years. Everybody thinks he's great. I believe Josh said, "Look him up on the internet." So why the fuck did they change his name?
I don't know. It would be one thing if they changed... Then they changed most guys' names, but...
Like Brian Kendrick?
Well, Evan Bourne.
Sure.
But on the other hand, CM Punk is still CM Punk.
Well, Evan Bourne's real name wasn't Matt Sydal.
Well, this is not, it's not Evan Bourne either. The point is, he had a name, they gave him a new one. Bryan Danielson had a name, they gave him a sort of new one. CM Punk had a name, they said, that'll work.
Well, I'm just, the point is, why would you...
I don't know. I don't know why they're inconsistent.
It's like if they would have brought Ric Flair in and acknowledged everything about him, but called him Frank Jones. You know?
Well, that would have sucked.
So,
Frank Jones.
Stryker said if he wanted to be a star, he needed to listen to The Miz. And Daniel said he could be a star on his own. And that was that. Carlito came out with Michael Tarver, who's a big guy with size, which I guess a big guy would have. And
you're a great writer sometimes.
Video package talking about his background. One of Tyson's sparring partners. His gimmick is he can knock out a man in 1.9 seconds. And then Christian came out with Heath Slater, whose gimmick is that he's a douchebag.
His gimmick is that he sucks.
"I am Heath Slater," he said, "and I am about to blow your mind." I didn't hate Heath Slater because he's exactly... Your reaction was exactly what your reaction is supposed to be. Utter hatred for this human being.
Really?
It's supposed to be, yes.
And he's teaming with Christian and working a babyface?
I'm sure it's going to become... Did you listen to the video package? He was such a heel.
Well, yes, he is right now my biggest heel on planet Earth. I hate this fucker. Perhaps I am being worked. I hope I'm being worked. I hope in real life he's not this big a tool. But basically...
Well, he did really cut his hair like that.
He does actually have that haircut. And he does seem to love to do his entrance, which is where he sort of holds his arms out and waves his hands toward himself. He did this over and over, and they did the little inset promos that were like almost right out of Ultimate Fighter. And Michael Tarver's was really good, and Heath Slater's was showed him doing this entrance over and over again, and then sitting there in the chair talking to the camera, he began to do it. And I thought, I'd like to shoot you.
Wow.
So he's, if he's working me, then he's the best man in the world. But yeah, see, I cannot stand this fucker.
We had Carlito and Tarver against Heath and Christian. And this was when they introduced the new floating hard camera. And I've been told there was a big new way of shooting that Vince was very excited about. And if it worked on this show, they were going to bring it to Raw and SmackDown. And apparently this is it. I expected more. It was just it was a hard camera,
yeah,
that moved. Whoop-de-fucking-do.
They changed one camera angle. And that was my first reaction. What was exactly that? Like, that is the new thing. They changed one camera angle. And then the more I saw it, the more I liked it. Although I don't necessarily like the idea of taking it to Raw and SmackDown.
I don't know if I like it. I'm leaning towards not liking it. Because, as you mentioned earlier, it makes a show come off like a studio show.
Yes, they basically... It looks like they cut the They cut the audience basically in half.
Yeah, that's bad.
Well, it's good for this show because it's the rookie show.
Yeah, but even that, it's like they're still in front of a live audience. And the idea is you're supposed to think that all of these shows are in front of giant sold-out crowds. When they have this moving, floating hard camera, the building looks smaller. It looks like there's less people there. It looks like you're watching an HD indie show.
Yeah.
This is not good.
You're right. I selfishly, as someone who has to watch 5 hours of this every week, I would like to see... You know, one of those hours be shot differently.
Well, that's fine. I mean, they could have put the camera in a different location, and it wouldn't have... There's just something about this hard camera that maybe it'll grow on me. But right now, I was not a fan of it.
It certainly does make the crowd look smaller.
We had... Oh, anyway, they did the match, and Tarver and Heath worked. They didn't show anything. Christian and Carlito got a hot tag. Heath pulled Carlito out of the ring. Christian hit Tarver with the kill switch. Tarver did not use his 1.9-second knockout. This was what it was.
It was fun. It was much better than...
Fun?
It was fun.
I could not go that far.
It was much better than what we got on most episodes of ECW.
It was better than Abraham Washington.
Yes, that's fun!
We had Darren Young, a, quote, South Beach party boy. Again, these people have no idea what they're doing.
None of these people have ever partied on South Beach.
He's backstage with his mentor, CM Punk.
This was the best thing I ever saw. Darren Young is... The most overly tan guy ever. He has, I guess it's a blowout hairstyle, I'm not really sure. But he was backstage being wacky as the Straight Edge Society stared at him with blank faces. This was the new best thing I ever saw, surpassing William Shatner reciting wrestling song lyrics a few weeks ago.
Here's the David Otunga video package. He's Jennifer Hudson's, I said wife. He's actually her husband. But anyway, they... What's interesting about this is Vince McMahon hates Barack Obama. And David Otunga is supposed to be a heel. He's talking about how he's a Hollywood guy. He's better than all of us. He's a big star. And like four times during this segment, they linked him with Obama.
Yes.
And I laughed. I laughed at how Vince is so, he's not even transparent anymore. Or he's transparent now. He's not even trying to hide it at this point. So... His catchphrase is apparently, come on, man, Google me.
Which is a great catchphrase. Yes, he's actually said, flat out said, being from Hollywood sets me a step above everybody else. I said I've been to the White House twice. I don't really have any weaknesses. And then he said he was part Rock, part Hunter, and part John Cena. Tremendous heel promo here.
So he faced Darren Young, the South Beach party boy, and pinned him in like 30 seconds with a botched hip toss.
Was, to be fair, a botched spine buster.
Was that what it was?
I think so. It was definitely botched. That, yes. I agree with.
And it was a finish.
And you could tell he knew it was fucked immediately, but it was a finish, so he covered him, and that was that.
And then we had the main event, which was Chris Jericho, the world champion, against Daniel Bryan. Hopefully the story ends differently, but this reminded me of when Chris Benoit first came to WWE, and his first match in was against Triple H, and Hunter beat him. It was, similar to that in the sense that Bryan came in, faced a world champion. They had a really good match. Jericho beat him clean. The notes from this match. First off, I never realized how short Daniel Bryan was.
He's a small man.
He's... I don't know. I mean...
Jericho towered over him.
He was there in Vegas, and I thought he was taller than he appeared to be. But Jericho is no more than 5'9".
Mm-hmm.
And... Daniel was much shorter.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, he had to have been like 5'6". He's going to need some lifts or something.
Maybe he can get it from Jericho.
He may be able to. So they have this match, and it's very good. Cole's going out of his mind, talking about Daniel being an indie geek wrestling in front of 50 people. And, of course, Josh is sticking up for him.
I do love that they've been pushing... Bryan is the internet darling and the 10-year star of the minor leagues for all this time. And Michael Cole just completely kills the gimmick.
Yes.
He claims to have never heard of him.
Yeah, he actually said that. I'd never heard of him till he showed up on NXT. Really?
Yeah,
why did you cut the promo on indie geeks and Twitter and the internet?
Yes.
Cole was something else on this show. And again, I don't believe for a minute that this was anything except Vince McMahon feeding him a bunch of shitty lines. But I think the idea was to get people like me upset at him, and it failed, unfortunately. I get much more upset at Michael Cole just flat out sucking at his job.
Being Michael Cole, yes. Yeah. This is a different kind of I can't say incompetence. A different kind of Michael Cole.
Daniel did a tope, overshot his target, went ribs first in the announcer's table, and Cole claimed Jericho threw him into it.
Yes.
Meanwhile, Jericho's selling.
and Danielson recovers and goes right back on offense.
The most amazing part of this match is, as much as they want to talk about Daniel Bryan having no personality or charisma or whatever, he's such a fantastic worker. I know that's no shock, but... And part of this, actually, I would say actually probably about 75% of this was Chris Jericho, but he applied a heel hook. A heel hook, everyone. He put a heel hook on Chris fucking Jericho.
The world champion.
And the entire audience went apeshit. They went crazy. Like, this was about to be a submission victory for Daniel Bryan.
Yeah.
If you would have told me this an hour before the show started, that Daniel Bryan was going to put Chris Jericho in a heel hook in their match and the fans were going to go crazy, I would have said, fuck off. I would not have believed this in a million years. I saw it with my own two eyes. It was incredible. And Jericho got the ropes and then hit the Codebreaker, put him in the Lion Tamer, got the submission. And then Miz hit the ring and beat the piss out of Daniel. And I mean... laying in these shots to the forehead to the point where Daniel's head was all red and all messed up afterwards. And I presume this was done on purpose so that people on the internet would think that it was a shoot and that Daniel's going to shoot on him and stretch the shit out of him when they work, which is not going to happen.
No.
But they did try. They're... All I gotta say about NXT is they're trying something.
It was, yeah.
Some of it's okay. Some of it has been an absolute failure. Some of it's just perplexing, but they're trying something new, so good for them.
Yeah. The other funny thing about this is that overall it was pretty good, but there were a few points here where, just for short moments, but Chris Jericho was the worst guy in the show.
He had some moments here.
Where Dragon did a dragon screw, and Jericho took a bump at this weird angle, which is not where he was supposed to go, basically came right down on top of him. And then later, Danielson went to knock him out of the ring with a forearm, and... basically he hit Jericho as hard as he could. Jericho still failed to go over the top rope. Not his best night. And still, it was a good match.
I don't know what happened, but yeah, it was a good match. So two thumbs up to those guys. Looks like Daniel Bryan is going to be the star of the show. It's pretty much set in stone that it's going to end up being Daniel versus Miz for the U.S. title when the 8 weeks is over. So that should at least be a fun feud. And I guess we'll see where they go next week, but a huge improvement over ECW.
God, so yes.
This replay is on Universal HD or something like that.
It's probably on Hulu.
Later this week, so make sure you watch it. Oh, it'll be on WWE.com, actually.
Sure.
Instead of Hulu, so check that out. So, yeah. There you go. Let's play a song here, and then we'll do Raw. Oh, here's one we haven't played. I was looking for this at Halloween, and I couldn't find it, but here you go.
If you gnarly tonight, gnarly.
Favorite songs of all time.
I miss the Monster Mash.
Well, you'll never see it again. ECW's gone.
That's true.
We'll just have the NXT Mash.
It happened one time. It
David Otunga. Why do I keep remembering his name?
It's
Wade Barrett.
Wacky name. Heath Slater.
Oh, my God. We've now got a Brian and a Wade on the Geek Show.
That's true. How did they just get Dave in there?
And a Dave. Huh. I hadn't thought of that.
That's right, David. All right, yeah.
Huh. I'm going to send that email to Dave right now. I'll let you guys know if I get a response by the end of the show. Vince, you start on Raw. I'm going to send in this email.
Raw opened with a video recap of the Elimination Chamber that showed Cena winning the WWE title, showed nothing else from the match, and then he immediately was, of course, challenged by Big Dave and pinned and lost the belt. So if you did not watch the show, you knew Sheamus was the champion going in. There was no explanation here of what happened to him. He just disappeared. It sucks to be Sheamus. That was the theme of the show, really.
Well, first off, my fun fact I'm sending to Dave. There's a Dave, a Wade, and a Brian on the Geek Show. Let's see if he responds. Sheamus wasn't there because he was hurt.
Well, I learned that later. But they could have showed him here.
He had a concussion.
On the video recap of the show the night before?
Sure.
They could have showed him being pinned. Something. It sucks to be a champion and your reign ends and it's not even deemed worthy to explain how.
Well, kind of. I mean, at least they didn't show him getting pinned. I don't know. What's next?
So then the Michael Cole, this is the kind of Michael Cole we hate. He said the pay-per-view the night before had been shocking, controversial, and disturbing.
I swear to God, Tiffany's writing this stuff
disturbing?
Now.
Disturbing?
Tiffany had to have written that press release for NXT.
I thought for the most part it was pretty boring, but I was not disturbed by any of it.
I was disturbed by half of it, actually, the middle part.
The middle part was...
It disturbed me when I thought how much money was spent on this.
I suppose when you put it that way. Yeah. You've just explained it. So, they introduced the new champion was coming out. I wrote down Batista. It was Jericho. I was confused what he was doing here because he's a SmackDown guy with a SmackDown belt. And that was before they reminded us that he had been banned from the show like a month ago.
Yeah.
So he was just back for no reason with no explanation.
He had an explanation.
Oh, that's right. I take it back. His explanation was he changed his mind.
Yeah, he said, I promise I'd never come back, but I changed my mind.
Yes. And so they let him back and put him in the ring in the opening segment. So he was the happiest man you ever saw. He was bragging about his win, bragging about beating The Undertaker twice, shouting, I'm going to WrestleMania over and over again. And then finally, Edge's music hit, and he ran out and speared Jericho and said, I'm going to challenge you for the belt in the main event of WrestleMania, and that was that.
That was a good segment. They did what they should have. There wasn't even a swerve where Edge came out and said, I'm going to challenge Sheamus. Oh, wait. He's not the champion. I challenge Jericho.
Just what they should have done.
Yeah.
And so immediately after this, not commercial break or anything, John Cena came out. He said he had now joined Bret Hart in the list of people who was screwed by Vince McMahon. Then he reminded us that he had his automatic rematch clause as a former champion, and he wanted it right now. And again, I was watching this before I knew Sheamus got hurt the night before, and I screamed, what about Sheamus? Where's his automatic rematch? So Vince came out instead. He explained that he and Dave Bautista had made a business deal, which was that Dave would help him get revenge on Bret Hart, and then he would grant Dave a WWE title match whenever he wanted. He announced that Dave Bautista would not be defending the title until WrestleMania. He said what I had just said. Sheamus also had an automatic rematch clause. He asked fans who deserved the shot. They all cheered for Cena, and Vince said, oh, you people. So Vince announced that Cena would have a match tonight. If he won, he would face Batista at WrestleMania. If he lost, the match would go to Sheamus. And then it was announced that his opponent would be Batista himself.
And as I noted in the newsletter, it was the loudest whisper of all time. Batista! Vince was great.
He's always great.
We had Maryse and Gale for the women's title in a horrendous match. They botched a bunch of spots. Maryse fell down. She grabbed her ear and her neck. She looked all goofy. Then they had the finish. This sucked. Maryse won the title. After all this time, she won the title in a shitty match in 2 minutes. Why did they even have a goddamn tournament?
Well, that I don't know. Because the announcers were even less impressed with this than you were. They sounded bored out of their skull by this entire thing.
That's because they were probably trying to figure out what in the hell happened to Maryse.
Maybe I need to pay more attention because I didn't even notice that she hurt herself or anything. This exceeded my expectations. I thought it was going to be worse than this.
Okay, hold on a second.
Yeah.
Were you watching this match at all?
I thought I was.
Okay, listen. Maryse...
The only thing I noticed, there was a point where Maryse was down and Gale went to hit like a body press. And Maryse went into the corner way too early, and so Gale had to jump out like a geek.
Yes, so Gale missed by a mile, and she laid on the mat, and then Maryse just sat there in the corner, And she grabbed her ear and her neck, and she put her head down, and she did not move for, like, 2 minutes. Where were you?
That long.
It was.
It was not 120 seconds.
It may have been 5 minutes. She laid there, and she did absolutely nothing. The ref asked her if she was okay, and she did some weird thing with her hand, and laid there for a long-ass time. And, like, time stood still for decades. Where were you?
I was typing.
I'm going to make you go back and watch this.
Honestly, after I watched it, I went and read the review, and I wish I had kept this on my DVR so I could watch it again.
I don't know if I have it or not. If I do, I'm going to make you watch that before you leave.
Entirely possible I am wrong.
Well, you are. I watched the whole goddamn thing, and I rewound it 3 times trying to figure out where she got hurt.
I did not rewind it.
And there was no spot. There was no spot where she got hurt. I think she fucked up. And so she pretended she was hurt to explain why she'd fucked up so bad.
That makes sense, actually.
Anyway, so this match was horrible. We had the Bellas with Jewel's hubby, is how I announced it, famous bull rider. No idea who he was. And in this segment, he had such a monumental... He made Daniel Bryan look like Ric Flair in his prime. Or The Rock, it is most charismatic.
He did quickly fade to the back here and just completely disappear.
Thank God his
wife was there.
Jewel's cleavage was there with the other girls. And Jillian came up and butchered a song, and so Jewel sang it. And this made Jillian upset. And she said that she hoped Jewel had to go back to living in her car. And so Jewel slapped her hard. And then all the babyface girls giggled.
And the highlight of this by far was Jillian in a weeping voice saying, "Why does everyone slap me?"
Yeah.
Comedy.
This fat sumba...
Sorry. I may as well play
this
it.
This fat sumba bitch is tells all of us has been world champions before, been in this business 15, 20 years. Oh, yeah. This fat sumba bitch is going to chow us all out.
Yeah. This is why I'm fat. This is why I'm fat. This is why I'm fat.
Because I got the largest arms in the world. You see that, Joe? That's a pain. Suck your head, you little fat bastard.
This is why I'm fat. I like to eat cheese. Anywhere and everywhere I motherfucking please.
Sat your ass.
But he's cackling.
Right after you sneeze, motherfucker.
I can't help it. I cannot do anything but laugh out loud when I hear, "I like to eat cheese." That's the best lyric ever.
Yeah. I was trying to set the drop board up, and it just started playing.
That clearly had nothing to do with Jillian.
No. Mm-mm. Okay, go ahead.
Randy Orton and Cody Rhodes had a meeting. Cody said he knew Ted was going to betray Randy. He said that the whole point of the group, the whole point of Legacy, was to get Randy Orton back to WrestleMania, and I could have sworn here that he said the plan was for Randy to headline WrestleMania the same year his dad went into the Hall of Fame. Isn't Orton already in the Hall of Fame, Cowboy Bob?
They must have screwed something up. Maybe it was the same year that Ted... No, he said that Ted wanted to headline the same year that his father.
Ah, okay.
What show were you watching, dude?
I don't know. So Randy told Cody that the whole thing this pay-per-view was not his fault. It was his own fault. He said he had taught Cody and Ted too well, but he had not been the leader that he should have been. He said when he has not gotten his way, he had bullied and attacked them, which is true. And he said he asked...
What a funny line.
He asked for a 6-man tag on this show to prove they were all on the same page. Said they had come too far to fall apart now. And he said, turned to Cody and he said, "Tell Ted that I'm sorry." And he walked away, and Ted DiBiase was apparently a foot and a half off screen because he immediately appeared. And he asked if that went well, and Cody said almost too well. And Ted said, "You sticking to the plan?" And there was a long pause where Cody appeared to be in thought, and he said, "Absolutely."
Foreshadowing, everyone. Evan and Kofi and Yoshi.
The wackiest team of all time.
Poor Yoshi. Didn't I not predict that he would be on Raw teaming with Evan Bourne? And I guess any idiot could have seen that coming.
Yeah.
But they faced Legacy, and heat on Evan. Kofi got the hot tag. Cody and Ted kept trying to tag in, but Orton wouldn't do it. And so finally, Cody blind tagged himself in. And I guess I proofread this, didn't I?
Yeah.
Cody and Ted kept asking for the tag and whispering to each other. Cody finally tried to blind tag Cody in.
Mm. He tried to tag himself. Well, it's true. He tried to tag himself in.
He did.
But or as he was entering the ring, Orton grabbed him and hit the elevator DDT. Started to walk away. DiBiase foolishly tried to engage Orton in a verbal debate outside. And as any fool could have seen, Orton hit an RKO on the floor and walked away.
And what a great RKO, by the way.
Why did you say that? Was it horrible? Or?
No, it was great.
Oh, I thought that was sarcasm. Yes, he hit him with an RKO and walked away. And all I could think was this Cody and Ted's plan? Because this plan sucks. So
well, I didn't have time to execute the plan because Randy Orton is like Steve Austin. He's one step ahead.
So Cody was left alone in the ring. Yoshitatsu ran wild, hit a bunch of
Yoshitatsu?
Moves.
Yoshitatsu? Is he like one of the Villanos?
One of the Villanos. Or Perro Aguayo.
Negro Cassis?
We had fun with Matt Farmer at the pay-per-view.
Yeah.
So anyway, Evan Bourne got the win with the Shooting Star Press. And more important, that's secondary. The important thing here is that there's trouble in Legacy. Still. Mm-hmm. We then got a fucking unreal Shawn
Actually,
Michaels.
Actually, first I got to mention that they claim this was Cena's last chance to main event WrestleMania. Did a single fan believe that?
I don't know.
Did a single fan believe there was no chance of him headlining WrestleMania if he did not win this match tonight?
Nothing could happen in the ensuing 5 weeks.
Jesus.
We had a fucking unreal Shawn Michaels Undertaker video package. This is just tremendous, tremendous stuff. If you had never watched wrestling before, and you sat down and watched this, you had no idea who Shawn Michaels was or The Undertaker was, and you watched this package, by the end of this, you would be begging for the opportunity to pay money to see them fight.
This was a money segment.
Oh my God. This was one of the best they have ever done.
Yeah.
Just awesome.
So Shawn came out and said he was not going to take up a lot of time, said he did what he had to do, understood it wasn't popular, but it was something he was willing to live with, and the dong sounded. Undertaker came out. There was no fire within 20 feet of him.
I was surprised they used it at all, but yes, it was completely gone by the time he showed on the stage and did not reappear until he was almost to the ring itself.
Said if Shawn wanted his attention, he had it. Shawn said last year, people said they had the greatest match in Mania history, perhaps the greatest match of all time. And as flattering as that was, Taker had to understand that he wrestled a nearly perfect match. So right here, by the way, Shawn Michaels was acknowledging it was 4 3/4.
Oh,
I just want
God.
You all to know that. He said he made one single mistake, cost him everything.
Did you ever go back and watch it again, by the way?
No, I didn't.
Just checking.
So anyway, he said he knew Undertaker was angry at him. He knew that Taker couldn't wait to get his hands on him. Said that was okay. You want your revenge? Face me at WrestleMania, Undertaker, and get your revenge. By the way, let me just say one thing about that 5-star match. How could a match be perfect when there was a major spot where a guy fucked up and nearly killed The Undertaker? You know what I mean?
Because it's the spot everyone remembers. It gave The Undertaker something else to come
I'm
back
sure
from.
I'm sure everybody remembers when Sid snapped his leg in half as well. That wasn't a 5-star match.
That's true. I agree with that.
Who gives a fuck if everybody remembers a dude almost killed himself? Maybe I'll go back and watch it again someday, but I was there live. I was watching it with my own two eyes.
Yeah. And you know what? That's why you have a worse opinion of it than everyone else, because Craig immediately sent me a text saying, how was Undertaker alive? And to those of us on TV, there was never any question. Well, I take it back. There was briefly a question of whether he was alive. But he sat up and he looked around like, I nearly died right there. And he laid back down and we knew he was okay.
But well, what's your point about the...
Because your argument of the whole thing was about how that...
No, but I'm just saying the match in general. I watched the whole match live.
Because your whole claim about why it was not a perfect match afterwards was because that moment took you out of it because you were concerned for Taker's safety.
Well, that
and live
and
in the
just...
building, you thought he may have been dead for like 3 minutes.
Well, yeah, because the match ground to a halt.
Because he was selling.
I'll watch it again someday, everybody, but it was 4 3/4 stars, and Shawn Michaels admitted it right here, for Christ's sake. Who are you to question Shawn Michaels?
So anyway, maybe he hasn't watched it either.
Probably hasn't.
Okay, then.
But he wrestled the match, for God's
sake. What
are
we talking about here? Oh, it's Undertaker.
So he ended up saying that Undertaker told him he could have his rematch on one condition. He had to put up something as well. Your soul, he said, would not be enough. That was a stupid line. I mean, come on, everybody.
His delivery on it was also bad in that he said, you had to put up something as well. He said, your soul.
And people actually initially kind of went, ugh.
There's a long dramatic pause like, don't you take everyone's soul? Haven't you taken CM Punk's soul about 9 times? And then he added, this year will not be enough. So that was odd. Then he said, I'd rather than your soul, I will also need your career.
He said, if you defeat me, you win the streak. And if I beat you, your career is over. And Sean said, you don't get it. If I can't beat you at WrestleMania, I have no career. You're on. So, yes, I saw Craig shed a tear as this was playing. Craig may end up going to Shawn Michaels' probably first retirement match.
Wow, what an honor, yes. Well, regardless, the fans did buy it. It was the only problem with this promo was that I could not follow the video package they did first, but it was a great promo. They aired clips of the CM Punk winning the Money in the Bank ladder match at Mania last year, a match I had completely forgotten, but this looked like a bunch of guys killing themselves. So there you go.
Carlito versus Christian, Money in the Bank qualifier, had cut-ins with the FCW guys that Carlito and Christian are mentoring. Michael Tarver on this show had zero personality.
Slater did not infuriate me on the show, but he did promise once again that he was going to blow our minds. Then he smiled, and then he tucked his hair behind his ear, and he smiled more, and then it cut away.
Again, I'll say it. If my hair ever looks like that, you are welcome to shave it off. God, that's such a horrible hairdo. It's horrendous. Is it just me?
And I did not find myself thinking that I should grow my hair out like him.
Wow. So anyway, Christian won. He's in Money in the Bank. Does it really matter? Does it really matter more details about Christian versus Carlito in a Money in the Bank qualifier that went 2 minutes?
Carlito still refuses to shave his pits. That's my only other note.
Disgusting. Jewel and her man came out to introduce the bull riding contest. They had a mechanical bull, and Eve went first. They said she did the 8-second ride, which was about 2 minutes. Kelly was out next. She made the 8 seconds. Bellas were out next. They rode double. They made it. Then the Big Show and Miz came out. Miz said, this show was about them, not a stupid bull riding competition. And Show said, besides, anyone can do that. And the bull rider, who I had now identified as Ty, he was starting to grow on me, said, well, why don't you give it a shot, tough guy? And Big Show said, and I quote, I'll smoke the divas, which was second only to bring me Jared from Subway.
It may have been second to that, but there was another line even better, and it was in this very segment when Miz was making fun of this whole deal, and he asked, what's next, a yodeling competition? And Jewel replied, my yodeling would crush you. That was the new best line I ever heard.
No.
My yodeling would crush you.
I'll smoke the divas, he said. He mounted the bull. There's a drop for everybody. He mounted the bull. It went faster and faster. And finally...
Yes.
I don't have a climax.
He fell off. And he bounced like 5 times.
Actually, that was the climax. Yeah, he fell off. He took a bump. Anyway, Show got mad and punched the bull. That was a letdown. And then they
wow, you were not doing that justice.
He punched a fake bull.
First of all, the girls riding the bull was the hottest thing I've ever seen on a PG show, especially Eve. Second of all, we already discussed how awesome Miz and Show were interacting with Jewel and Ty. Show issued his challenge.
Did you forget the beautiful people in the mud wrestling contest?
I do not think that's a PG show.
No.
So, I was so distracted by this that I was typing while
oh God.
Keeping my eyes on the screen, and my notes read, she rides the bool, B-O-O-L. So, Show said anyone can do that. Ty said go ahead and try. Show immediately knew he had stuck his foot in his mouth but didn't have a way to back out. He gingerly approached the bull. Just watching the Big Show walk on the big balloon thingy very awkwardly was awesome. He got on the bull. They cranked it up several thousand RPMs. He did not last long.
Several thousand RPMs.
Yeah, sure. And he bounced.
It was spinning?
Yeah, it did. It did not spin several thousand times a minute. But regardless, they cranked it up to a higher gear. And Big Show fell off. He bounced like 5 times, totally bewildered. I forgot the other best part, which is where he took his two tag titles and he went to the Divas and said, hold these. And each one said no. And he moved one down the line and said, hold these. And she would say no. And they all said no. And finally he said, you're just rude. And he put his belts down. Then he got in the bowl. Then he fell off. Then Miz went down to console him. See, it's all right. Don't let it get in your head. Then Big Show took this loss personally. And he turned to the mechanical bull, and he started to shake, and he started to slobber, and he cut a promo on the bull about how he was going to take him out, and this bull couldn't stand up to him. And he walked up to the bull, and he reared back for his knockout punch, and then the camera got a bad angle, and he threw a punch and fell down, and the bull swung. I don't know if he missed. I don't know if he was supposed to hit it so hard to knock himself down. It was not the payoff to what had been an awesome, awesome setup. But I thought this segment was awesome. All of it matters.
It was a fun comedic diversion in the middle of a money drawing show, so I have no problem with it. I don't want to hear a single person say, if this had been on Impact, you would have said it sucked. I don't want to hear it. What do people not understand about the differences between Raw and Impact? Okay, the next time there's a bull riding contest on Impact and the next pay-per-view does a million buys, get back to me. Until then, shut the fuck up. It's showing Miz against MVP and Mark Henry. This went like... MVP, by the way. How many times does this guy lose?
Many.
He lost last week. He lost at the pay-per-view. He lost this week. What a loser. Show punched big Mark Henry.
He won last week.
He did? Oh, that's right. That's right. He won a non-title tag team match to set up a U.S. title shot at the pay-per-view. Huh.
Well, and apparently also a tag match here. Daniel Bryan was shown watching backstage. He was wearing a nice suit, and he did nothing. Heath Slater cut a promo. Bryan Danielson did not.
Yeah. They announced Wendi Richter going to the Hall of Fame. That was interesting. And she'll be inducted by Roddy Piper.
Yes.
Wendi Richter, everyone.
Yes.
Not Trish Stratus.
She had, I was going to say a good 6 months, but really it was just the one match, wasn't it? Maybe two? And I was trying to think of people to induct her, and Moolah's gone. Albano's gone. Then I thought, well, is Cyndi Lauper busy? Then I thought about it more. I thought, Cyndi Lauper cannot be busy.
Let's find out what Cyndi Lauper is doing right now.
In the meantime,
I want that long moment of silence.
Should we just wait while you look it up?
Whenever you type something in, it gives you the suggestions. I've got Cyndi Lauper, Cyndi Lauper song, Cyndi Lauper lyrics, Cyndi Lauper time after time. Cyndi Lauper time after time lyrics. People are still looking up that in 2010. Cyndi Lauper pictures. Cyndi Lauper true colors. Cyndi Lauper true colors lyrics. Cyndi Lauper Barbie. Hmm. And Cyndi Lauper girls just want to have fun lyrics. Let's see what she's doing. She's got an official website. Let's look at Wikipedia.
You wouldn't go to her official website to see what she's up to?
No. Cyndi Ann Stephanie Cyndi Lauper, born in 1953. She's 56 years old now.
Yeah.
American singer and actress. She achieved success in the mid-80s with the release of the album She's So Unusual. Blah, blah, blah. Let's see. Early life and pre-fame, 80-81, 83-85, 86-88, 89-92, 93-95, 97-2000. She's still performing. 2001-2003, 2005-2007. In 2008-2009, Bring It to the Brink is the name of her latest album, apparently, at 56. Wow. Apparently she's still alive.
I figured she would still be doing, you know, casino shows.
Oh, look at this. Cyndi Lauper confirmed that she would be releasing a new album in spring 2010. Perfect timing.
You would think.
Perfect timing. In late 2009, it was confirmed that Cyndi joined Lady Gaga for the spring 2010 Mac Viva Glam campaign.
What? What does that mean?
It's launching lipsticks to raise awareness about AIDS. What does that mean, raise awareness about AIDS? Who is not aware of AIDS?
I just like, here's a lipstick to remind you people are dying.
So anyway, there you go. She was on Celebrity Apprentice, along with other celebrities such as Sharon Osbourne and Bret Michaels. It will start airing in spring 2009. Wow. Well, there you go. She's available, everybody. She's available.
So they have been promising a Bret Hart update throughout the entire show. The update was broken leg and ligament damage. That was it.
They've got a list of her tours. You want to know the name of her tour in 1984 to 1985 was?
Not really.
The Fun Tour.
I apologize. My life is enriched for knowing that.
That was her first ever tour. Was called The Fun Tour
with Cyndi Lauper.
Wow.
The Fun Tour. So right.
She also
this...
appears on the Goonies original motion picture soundtrack.
Yeah.
And that... Rugrats in Paris the movie. Wig in a Box. That starred Goldust and Goldberg. As the World Turns, a soap opera, and From the Hut to the Projects to the Mansion. I don't know what the hell that is, but I don't need to see it. Did you have something you were talking about?
Not really.
All right, go ahead.
So, they gave us a recap that was exactly the news we heard on SmackDown. Then they cut immediately to Vince, who said that he had been considering facing Bret at WrestleMania. But now Bret had the accident. He said categorically that he had nothing to do with the accident, and Bret knew that. Although he conceded, he did enjoy the humility Bret had experienced as of late. But he still invited Bret back next week to say a proper goodbye. He promised to give Bret anything he needed, including a wheelchair, an ambulance, and a hydraulic lift to get into the ring.
Yeah.
He said this all with a perfectly straight face, like he was doing Bret giant favors while... Well, in reality, he was openly mocking him. It was fantastic prickness.
Well, I hope he doesn't call the Midwest Ambulance Service.
I hear they're upset.
Attention, please do not call 222-2222 regarding the condition of Bret Hitman Hart. Contact the WWE for updates. Our number is for emergency calls only. Thank you. To think, people. To think they were calling en masse to find out the condition of Bret the Hitman Hart.
Apparently they were.
In 2010,
everyone. Apparently they were.
Where's Craig's daughter? Wasn't she freaked out when Shawn Michaels collapsed on Raw?
Probably.
Maybe she's still calling about Bret Hart's
injuries.
She was
also like 7.
Well, there is that. We had Dave versus Cena in Cena's only chance to get a shot at the title at WrestleMania. Of course, this was supposed to be Sheamus versus Cena, but Sheamus was hurt. So Dave just kneed him in the balls. And Cena won via DQ. And then, as he was selling his nuts, Dave beat the shit out of him. Beat him around ringside, stomped him, punched him, chair shots to the back repeatedly. And meanwhile, Michael Cole just could not comprehend. Could not comprehend what was going on here. And it's a great angle to set up the match. And aside from the bull riding, 2 thumbs up show.
What do you mean aside from the bull riding? That was the best part of the show.
No, it was not. Oh, really? Better than the video package?
No, you're right. The video package was better. But, yeah, the main event was, I don't know. I was, frankly, as bewildered as Michael Cole trying to figure out, unless Dave, I guess, wants to wrestle John Cena. Maybe it's not a big mystery, but I don't know why he would want to do that when he already, I don't know why he cared. It didn't make sense to me.
Let's play a song that I'm going to do the quick plug for this week. It's old school. I love this song for some reason.
I want to make some noise with real life airborne planes. Someday I'm going to fly. I'll be a pilot too. And when I do, how would you like to be my crew?
Yes.
On the good ship.
Party.
Pop it. Trip to a candy shop where bonbons play on the sunny beach in Peppermint Bay. Lemonade stand everywhere, Cracker Jack band.
Some competition.
And there you are.
Yahoo!
Happy landing on a chocolate bar. On the good.
This is the part that gets me.
Pop on the good ship.
Party!
It's the best part.
Pop on the good ship.
Party!
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 Pop on the good ship.
Party! I want some
It is unique. That is true.
That is a one-of-a-kind song.
I just pray that you wake up in the middle of the night sweating and crying, hearing that nuttiness in your head.
That's a horrible, horrible thing to say to anyone.
Oh, God. Could not love this show? If you're a freeloader listening to this and you don't love it, first off, why have you been listening for an hour?
How did you make it this far into the show?
If you made it this far, then you should be signing up to the website. It's just, that's how it should be. It's $9.99 a month, for God's sake. The economy is, well, it's probably a bad way to plug this. Things could be worse, everyone. We're not in a Great Depression right now. We're merely in a Great Recession. $9.99 is all it takes to enjoy this goofiness and wackiness on a regular basis. Because not only do we do shows every single day, 10 to 15 shows a week, keep in mind you're listening to a show. Once a week. That's all you get is one a week. Not only do we do 10 and 15 new ones a week, 10 to 15 new shows, but our archives are filled with thousands of hours of shows. Let's say you've got to drive from Washington to Florida. God knows why. Or from L.A. to New York. Or let's say that you've got to fly from Washington State to Australia. Or to China, for example. It's a long-ass trip. Let's say you've just got to get stuck in traffic every day on the way to your job. Or you go to the gym and you've got nothing good to listen to. All the shit on your iPod, you've heard it a million times. And you want to listen to wacky shows. Or non-wacky shows. I just did a show today with J.J. Dillon.
Was it wacky?
Figure Four Daily. No, it wasn't wacky. That's what I'm saying. We have newsworthy shows as well, where we talk about the history of wrestling or mixed martial arts, the news of the day, Wrestling Observer Radio with myself and Dave Meltzer 3 times a week, Brian and Vinny Show 2 to 3 times per week, got the Adam and Mike Big Audio Nightmare, 5-star radio, the Carl Stern Show, the Dr. Keith Show. Hopefully not missing anything here. We've got a million shows on the website and archives. Not to mention the newsletters. Figure Four Weekly, Wrestling Observer, the newsletter. We put them out every week. Sometimes, in Dave's case, twice a week. Sometimes even more than twice a week. And we've got all the archives as well. Basically, you could never go through everything in a month. If you signed up right now for a month for $9.99 and you spent 24 hours a day, 7 days a week, there's no way you could go through all the content. I don't think you could go through it in a year. So sign up and enjoy. Just enjoy, everybody. We're going to read some shout-outs here. These are from people who have signed up. If you do sign up, you get a free shout-out here on the program. I'll read a couple of these. We'll give people their shout-outs, and it will give you a good idea of why you, as a freeloader, should sign up. God, we got a lot of them here. God, we got a lot of them. Where the hell did these all come from? When was the last time we did shout-outs?
Seems like years, honestly.
It would have been the 17th. So I think these are all new. All right, let me go here. Hey, everyone. My name is Evan O'Brien. I'm from Cork, Ireland. Not the city, because that sucks, but the North County. Needless to say, due to the fame of the newsletter, I discovered your site. I used to pay another wrestling site for content, but they started firing people for just stupid reasons. Even though your site may be more money than others, it truly is great value, and I have no regrets and no problems handing over $9.99 a month. I love the Brian and Vinny Show. It is the only reason why I signed up, but the newsletters, Observer shows, and Figure Four Dailies are great, too. I don't participate in the board because I'd just rather not try to argue with people. Good man.
Oh, so smart.
Thanks for the content. I'm looking forward to more great content in the future. That's from Evan O'Brien.
Thank you, Evan O'Brien from Cork, Ireland.
A fine shout-out.
That actually was a great shout-out.
A fine shout-out that was right there. Way to go, Evan. This is from Lucy. I subscribed back in November, really enjoy the site. Haven't used my shout-out, so I thought I'd go easy and use it. My girlfriend's least favorite song is Nuts on Your Chin by Eazy-E. And I thought it would be great to hear Vinny recite some of my favorite parts from the song. I know about the 150-word limit, so I'll be sure to keep it under that. Hopefully this intro doesn't count as part of the 150 words. Well, I'll forward this to Vinny.
All right.
I'll let him get this all loaded up, and I'll read the next shout-out here. Then we'll have some fun. What do we have next? All right. Guys, I signed up October 2008, but saved the shout-out. Not sure why, but I'll use it now. New to the board. I was just always a newsletter radio guy. I plan to head down to Vegas for the F4W convention. Be nice to be around some wrestling fans. I live in Ottawa, Canada. All wrestling fans died around 2002. Goddamn invasion. It's only UFC these days around here. Wrestling, comment, no buys, other than Bret Hart. I'm from Canada. Just want to say love the site, guys. Vinny, I love your lack of caring. You inspire me. And Ed in And to Ed in San Antonio, I love that you asked Dave about the king of the board. I loved his reply. It was priceless. I think his reply was he had no idea what it was. Thanks, guys. Look forward to meeting you all in Vegas. Send me more details. Username JoshM1985. Go Leafs, go. That's from Josh M. Another fine shout-out right there. This one's from Andrew. Greetings, Brian and Vinny, from the ever-growing wrestling mecca of Australia. I almost said Australian mecca. Wrestling mecca of Australia. I was a freeloader for a while and have been a proud member for the past few months. Instead of contributing to my poor health with sugary treats, I save the cash so that I can hear Lance Storm and Satchel Ass Drops instead. A fair trade, I believe. Shoutouts to Scott Steiner's Mullet, Chicken Schnitzels, Salty Seawater, and a special hello to my comrades on Planet Urban. I have a feeling that shoutout was very lewd and I was unaware of it. But that's from Andrew Hickey. A fine shout-out there as well. All right, and this is from Chris. I would like to cash in my free procreation shout-out. That's true. If you procreate, if you create an offspring,
oh yeah,
you get a free shout-out here. Birth of my son, Michael, in the early hours of this morning, 22nd February. Shout-outs, therefore, to my wife, the kid himself, my training camp, God, the Brooklyn Brawler, and pop-singing sensation, Will Young. Fuck yous to Gordon Brown, David Cameron, Nick Griffin AIDS, and the child catcher from Chitty Chitty Bang Bang. Keep up the great work on the show. Snoogie Scoob. That's who that's from.
And Snoogie Scoob Jr.
That's right.
Best
that's
of
right.
luck to you and your family.
That was some good shout-outs there. And I guess that leads us to you, Vinny. You've got to read this thing here. Right. This should be white.
Oh, you have no idea.
And hopefully someone will turn this into a drop
this
or a song.
This song is so much more lewd, by the way, than that whatever that shout-out was. I'm trying to decide if I should censor part of this out. But
well, it's going to live forever, so make up your mind right now.
Ah, fuck it. Rappers want a diss. I'm glad to see him, because I rip your fucking face out of a magazine. OG gangsta lean. Now after I shit your face, wipes that ass clean. Now time to get tipsy. And I don't want a bitch if she can't rub the balls like a gypsy. Who's all in? Since you put yourself on my dick, I put my nuts on your chin. There's more.
Wow, Vinny. Way to go.
Thanks.
Way to go. I presume you're done.
Should I keep going?
I don't know.
I was looking for some kind of feedback.
Well, you're not going to get any from me. Just appalled.
Then I will just stop.
Now that's enough. If it turns into a good song, maybe I'll make you read the whole goddamn thing. Vince is bright red over there, everybody. I hope you're happy at what you have done to this poor man. Wow. Well, there you go, everybody. Brian and Vinny's show. Again, sign up for more. And after that...
how could you not?
After that, how could you not want to? So we'll be back later on this week. We've got Wrestling Observer Radio tomorrow night. We've got Figure Four Daily with Lance Storm on Thursday. We got Brian and Vinny on Friday night with SmackDown. And, God, I guess that's it. Oh, you know what? At some point this week, we're going to watch Dragon Gate USA's newest pay-per-view. And I've got the Evolve debut. So we'll talk about that coming up as well. And a lot of stuff to get into. So check it out, everybody. And we'll talk to you again after a while.
Adios.